Okay, we are up to Perek Esrim Ushnayim, chapter 22, which is actually, we're getting very, very close to the end of Shar Bet. The second Shar is, I think, 25 chapters, so we're on chapter 22. And after quite a few weeks on various aspects of Emunah, this is a new chapter on Birkas Hanen. In the next few chapters, until the end of the whole section, each chapter is a new topic. This chapter is on the brachos that we make on food, Birkas Hanenin. So interestingly, before he gets into his main thesis, which is not that long, but he begins with a point by point. You should have, I think it was posted on the, I noticed on the group as pictures. So the bottom picture is actually the first one. If you take a look, he first begins by describing or translating in the context of blessings on food, what the words of brachos mean. So if you came for nothing else, if you want to feel like you just gained something that all those people who just walked out of shul are never going to get, it's just this. It's worth it already just for the beginning. What do we mean when we say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam? We say that how many times a day? Hopefully at least 100. And then he adds also, what does it mean when we're saying a bracha on food, borei? But the point is, it's very, very important, even just basics. For example, the first thing he says, based on the Nefesh HaChaim, is the common misunderstanding and the mistranslation. In English, we say, blessed is God, Baruch Atah Hashem. Can you bless God? God needs your blessing? That's not what's happening. You can't bless God. So it means, Atahu Makor Kloriboy HaBrachos LaHashmaot. Number one is, you should realize when we say Baruch, we're saying, God, you are, it's a declaration, not a gift that we're giving to Him. What can we give Him? But rather, we're declaring that God is the source of all brachos. Number one. Number two, what is atah? What's the emphasis on atah? So he points out, ponim el Hashem b'lashon nochach. We speak to Hashem in the second person. And the second person, of course, implies a certain intimacy and relationship. Ba'olam, humitkale al ma'asav, rotzuhu liot kashur eleinu. In general, God is this huge, amazing thing, which we're going to be speaking about a lot in this chapter. And we are only kind of like getting breadcrumbs, so to speak, of who He is, you know, retrospectively and at a distance, based on his actions. But says the L.A. Shore, what we should pay attention, and this has been noted by Rav Tzadok HaKohen and probably others even before that, but the significance of the fact that we say every bracha with the word atah is reflects an actual intimate relationship. Rotza hu lios kashur eleinu. He wants to have a relationship with us. And therefore, l'chein anuponim elav yitbarach panim al panim norab ma'od. Indeed it is. What an amazing, amazing thing to think about, that we're actually talking directly to Hashem. It is in the second person, baruch atah. Number three, what does it mean when we say Hashem? So the word Hashem in brachos is written yud kei vav kei, but of course it's not pronounced that way. It's pronounced Adonai. So he is going to explain, I'm not sure I really chap the huge difference between them, but he points out, Hu b'ksivaso ha-Yehovah v'yeh, right? What does Yud Kei Vav Kei mean? Hashem was, is, and always will be. So this, he explains, is something super duper deep and metaphysical and mystical and very, very hard to imagine how every universe, everything is batel to Hashem. And he points out a few lines down that halachically, we actually are really only required to be thinking about all that when we say the Pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Right there, Hashem's name is written, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, and we're really supposed to be thinking about the Ha-Yehovah V'yiyah. However, he points out, in all other brachos, Hashem Kikriyoso, the way we actually say it, is Adon Kol. Right? Adonai means Hashem is the master, the Adon of everything. But I'm not sure it's such a huge difference, as he points out. Even here, Gam HaKavana Zosi, Ha-Achtos HaGamura, Avadav. Right, it's referring to the fact that it's everything together. Everything Hakol is a servant of Hashem. Hashem created all of those. Adon Kol Ve'Elyon Shenivraim Ad Pachos Shepchusim. So I'm not sure why that is so much less than, or so much easier to relate to than the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Honestly, maybe that needs a little bit more work. But that's what we see when we say Hashem. What is Elokeinu? So he points out this is very similar to the fact that we say Atah. It highlights the relationship. If we had just said Elohim, that describes God as the master, the big God in the sky, the guy who could control everything, etc. But we don't just say Elohim, we say Elokeinu. What are we adding by that? Anachnu Am Yisrael, Zachinu Lashkacha Pratit B'Kviyut. Right? Hashem is our God. He has chosen us. Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem, that great God, who is Mahaveh HaKol, Manhig HaKol. Nevertheless, Lo Masarat Kashka L'Koach Acher Hashem, Hu Elokim. So that's an incredible, incredible thing. I mentioned this, I'm trying to remember from which source, much older, more Kabbalistic source, I'm trying to remember, on a Tisha B'Av a few years ago, the Tisha B'Av that I remember, the one year I gave kinos from my house. We were still, you know, half out of Corona, but we were still doing things from the house. And I can't remember which source that was, but it was a very well-known source. I'm blanking on it. But I remember he had this very, very vivid metaphor all about, on the one hand, how Hashem is Malkeinu, he's Melech HaOlam. On the other hand, but you have a relationship with him, he's Avinu, right? You get to see the king, you know, in his pajamas. Only the kids get to do that. I can just point out, it's true about rabbis also, but let's not get TMI. Right? Everyone gets to see the rabbi or the king, whoever, you know, on one level. Right, but if you're the family, you get to see him in a completely more relaxed and intimate level. So he's that's the point he's emphasizing here as well. Just reminding me of that thing I mentioned on Tisha B'Av those years ago. Ata and Elokeinu highlight the relationship and the personal connection that Hashem wants with us and hopefully we have with him. And then we say, Melech HaOlam. Now this is something I never thought of until I saw Rav Olmi point this out, which is, it's really a Rosh Hashanah theme also, but he points out that Malchuso Yisparach Nikaret B'Zeh Sheish Olam Umos Olam Asher Gam Aleim Hu Shalait. There's a certain paradox. Once we've established that we're Banim Lamakom, that we're children, we're part of the family, or as he points out, or alternatively, you might even formulate it stronger, like Kuchu Brichu V'Yisrael Chadu. It's not, you know, we're not just like the children of God. On some level, we are, you know, we have God inside of us even. So if that's the case, on the one hand, that's amazing. On the other hand, you're not actually the king because you're the head of your family. Like, I know certain fathers, like, you know, may fancy themselves, you know, and we have this idea, you know, what is it, in English, let's go back to English law, right? Right? To every man's home is his castle, right? Okay, that's all fine and good, but like, let's get real. You're not actually the king, right? So ironically, because we're mishpucha, so to speak, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he was only Melech Aleinu, that's not such a king. You know, that's like the father. Okay, fine, he's the patriarch of the family and there's 100 grandchildren. And we all went to, you know, that's great. So you need a bigger room when you go away for Pesach for the 50th anniversary. You're still not the king. And this is the kind of father that even every grandchild goes to him for advice. And it's all fine. But you're not the king. You're just the head of the family. So therefore, says Rav Olmi, it's dafka the fact that Hashem is not just Melech Aleinu, he's not just Elokeinu, but he's Melech HaOlam Kulo. He's not just Shoel Sholeit on Am Yisrael, but or Melech Betoch Banav. You know, that's a little bit fake. Rather, if it would be just that, Adayin Lo Nikaret Malchuso, that wouldn't necessarily show how great God is. Rather, in fact, it's the opposite, or it's something else. Malchuso Yisbarach Meskala Betoch Olam Hazeh Shegam Teva V'Umos HaOlam Einem Metzius Atzmait Ela Hakol. It's a nuance, which I have to say, I don't know if I really thought about before, which is that ironically or paradoxically, on the one hand, there's something very special about our relationship, and we revel in that, obviously. And on the other hand, we have to emphasize that it's not only us, because if it would be only us, then it would actually be limiting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just in a quantitative way, but qualitatively. If all you are is the head of your family with your children, so that's fine, but that's not Melech. To be a melech means over everything, including even the ones who aren't your family. And then, now, last but not least, he adds one thing, which is, of course, unique to brachos on food, and not just brachos on mitzvos. We all begin with, borei. My name is Onos, Priya Goffin, whatever, right? Borei. What does that mean? Brias hu yesh me'ayin, borei mishamesh gam lashonavar. So borei could mean different things. It could be referring to what he did in the past, but also the idea of borei, as we know in Bereishis, is the fact that God uniquely has the ability to create something from nothing. Okay, so this was just part one of the essay, which again, as I say, if you came just for this, dayenu, because we say brachos so many times a day. So this is his little explication. It's a little bit of a emphasis towards the brachos on food, but really a lot of what he just said here would be relevant to any bracha that we make in davening or on mitzvos. Now becomes the rest of the essay, which is really the unique part, which is what is the essence of our relationship to food? Okay, that's not actually the point. But what is our relationship to brachos? What is brachos supposed to do mediated through food? What are brachos supposed to do in terms of creating our relationship with Hashem? So it happens, and this happens a lot in life, especially in learning, right, where all of a sudden, if you will, coincidentally, and of course it's not really a coincidence, the opening points he makes are all from our parshios. The opening of the chapter, again, we couldn't have planned it when we started this chabura 2 years ago, but this is his opening things are exactly from the beginning of Sefer Shmos. And it begins with the first few very famous Rashis, really in next week's parsha, in Va'era, but in the beginning of the Makos. And For those who sometimes listen to my online posted shurim, the woman shir 2 weeks ago, I quoted all these sources because 2 weeks ago I spoke about Hakara Satov for the woman shir. So that's exactly the whole piece here, which I didn't connect at all at the time, is exactly on that. And he points out something astounding. Brasha Kivanti. As we all know, we were all taught since we were little kids in kindergarten or whenever it is we first became exposed at our first Pesach Seder or whatever, that Moshe was not instrumental in bringing the first three plagues. Right? As Rashi points out, in each of those cases, Moshe is told, not you, Aaron has to be the one who brings the blood, the frogs, and the lice. Damas Faradea Kinim. And why? So as Rashi quotes, and he brings them all here, because in the stories that we're going to read about this Shabbos, Moshe benefited from the river because he was saved as baby Moshe, so therefore it's not right for him to hit the river, to turn it into blood, or to get the frogs out. And, of course, when he kills the Egyptian taskmaster, then he hides the body in the sand, so it wouldn't be nice for him to hit the sand to bring out the Kenim, right? That's the Rashis that we learn, and if it wasn't us, then our children, our grandchildren, we all learned when we're in a little kindergarten, everybody knows these stories. So look at the last lines of the page. Mafli, this is crazy. I mean, it's nice that we quote this and we know it, and, you know, we know it in kindergarten, but let's be honest here, it makes no sense. Incredible. We have to really have a karas hatov. This thing that we're doing the favor for. We're not going to hit the river. We're not going to hit the sand. I have a news flash for you. The sand doesn't know the difference. Don't tell your little kids. But the sand doesn't know the difference. The river doesn't know the difference. And yet...
It's going to happen anyway.
Huh?
And it's going to happen anyway.
Okay. And yet, somehow the chiyuv of Moshe, of Hakar Satov, of gratitude towards the river and towards the sand, still requires that. Right. We have other examples of that. Right. That's not for Hakar Satov, but it is, I think there is a tzad hashav in terms of what's the upshot. So what's the point? Right? So just turn over the page. Similarly, he adds, and this was also in that woman's share I gave 2 weeks ago. Oh, wow, I'm on a roll. What's one of the most important mitzvahs we have in the whole Torah? Chumra b'chamuras, as he calls it, kibud av v'aim. And as the Sefer Achinuch says, what's the shorish? What's the essence of kibud av v'aim? Hakaras hatov. Now he doesn't elaborate it on here, but if you take a look in the Chinuch inside, mitzvah lamed gimel, if I remember correctly, he says there's 2 points to kibud av v'aim. Number one is you wouldn't be alive without them. You have to have hakaras hatov for your life. But hopefully, for 99.99% of us, our parents didn't just give us actual physical, biological life and then drop us off at the fire station. They raised us. They took us to Little League. And they changed our diaper. And they helped us build our diorama in third grade. And then they paid for yeshiva and seminary and maybe even our first house and who knows whatever else. It does a lot to be thankful for to our parents. So it says the Sefer HaChinuch, a mitzvah, what could be more important than kibud av v'aim? And its essence, its basis is Hakar Satov. So we see these incredible markers for Hakar Satov. You have to have Hakar Satov, even for inanimate objects, they won't know the difference. One of the most important mitzvahs in the Torah is based on Hakar Satov. And another one, and guess what? Also mentioned in that woman's shir. Amazing, I'm on a roll. Which is that the Medrash tells us, relating now to this week's Parshias, Kofer Betovoso al Shachavero, Besov Kofer Betovoso Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal point out something astounding. What does it mean he didn't know Yosef? I spoke about this, I actually gave this as a drasha, I think, last year or 2 years ago in the shul here, which is, Maman of Shach. If it was the same Paro, so it's even more absurd. What do you mean he didn't know him? Right? He pretended he didn't know him, right? Sometimes I have this every now and then, like you're like somewhere for Pesach or you're in a hotel, you know, in January or February in Israel, and you see someone in the lobby who you went to high school with, and they pretend not to know you because they were in the cooler group than you. Like they're still in high school 30 years later. They're still the cool group, and they have to pretend not to know you. There are people like this. They are emotionally not yet developed. They could be 45 years old, but they're not always developed, right? So that's the first version. Paro pretends he didn't know Yosef. But the truth is that we make a mistake, and if it would be a new Paro, he didn't know Yosef. It's also ludicrous. Right? What kid growing up in the Mitzrayim wouldn't have known who Yosef was? He was the face on every dollar bill. He was the guy, he was the one who ran the girl, he saved the whole country. Of course they all knew who Yosef was. What's the difference if he was a new Paro or an old Paro? So the Tzad HaShav is not whether he was a new Paro old Paro. The new Tzad HaShav is that he didn't have a Karsatov. And therefore, whether he was the same one or not, either way, He obviously knew who he was. And in both cases, he was doing the same thing. He's pretending not to know him because he didn't want to feel indebted to him. So says the Medrash, very much paraphrasing Bekitzur, says the Medrash, it's not a coincidence that the same Paro, who says, Yosef, who's Yosef, later when Moshe comes and says, the God of the Israelites says, let my people go. I mean, at least that's how it was in the movie. I'm not sure what the original Nusach was. Right? Let my people go. Moshe says, it's my God, the God of the Jewish people says that. So says Paro, what's his first response? Who's that? I never heard of him. Now those are two separate things you would think. The Medrash connects them. The Medrash says, someone who is not makir in the good that people do for them, sofo, eventually they're going to be kofar baker. That's the Medrash that he is alluding to. So he just kind of goes right into the explanation, but I think we'll appreciate what he says more if we pause and just unpack what he's clearly bothered by and others before him. How does that make any sense? Again, it's not nice to pretend you don't know Yosef. And we certainly can't approve of people who are heretical and not pretend that there's no God. But you could have two different types of rishayim. They're not all the same guy. Right? Just because you have a hammer doesn't mean everything's the same size nail. Like, why is the Medrash saying that they're the same thing? Because you're not a good friend and you never say thank you to your neighbor when she lends you sugar or whatever. So forth, therefore you're going to become an apikaris. Maybe not. Like, why? What's the connection? So what you see from this, and this is now let's pick up a Volbi, Harogil kachas mikol haba el yado ki ilu ze magia lo vein menafshu adinut lahargish betuvaso shel chavero sheitil matanaso heichiakir betuvaso shel kadosh baruch hu. In other words, what is he saying? And he's going to explicate this even more in the next paragraphs. Hakaras hatov is a single fundamental and defining midah. Either you got it or you don't got it. A person who looks at the whole world as magia li, or as my Bubby would have said, eskiptmir, right? It's coming to me, and we all know people like this. So then it doesn't matter if the person or the being or the whatever, the source, I guess that's a better word, for whatever they benefited from is the neighbor, is the spouse, is the co-worker, is the friend, or a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because it's the same flaw. Everything is about me, everything is coming to me, I don't need to thank anybody. It's actually not a huge leap from going to just being not nice and not saying thank you, to being a kofar. Again, on some level, it's a huge leap. But at the deepest level, there's two ways to look at the world. One is an appreciative, thankful way, and that will lead you to say thank you to everyone, including Hashem. And if you can't even, as he puts it, if you can't even say thank you to the person who mama showed up at your door, because you put a text on the community group chat, you know, anyone have milk? You know, at 11 o'clock at night, and someone said, here's a liter. If you can't even be appreciative for something that's mamish in your face, how are you going to be appreciative? How are you going to be aware of Kadosh Baruch Hu, who is through all sorts of invisible, indirect channels, making sure that there's enough money in the bank at the end of the month, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? So in fact, there's a strong, strong connection. So now he takes it the next step further. Mi odeh, he says, imlo hazika al haborei, hamekanenet b'leiv kol adam bari. So that's just the pause for a second. What is he saying? He's making a thesis, which he's not the only one to say, which is that there's a little, what he calls azika elabore, is what other people might have called the pinta l'yid. This idea that somewhere inside, hamikonenet, something that's resting in the heart of every normal person, that there's some ezishu, mashu, drive, link, connection, feeling, gut connection, somewhat awareness of the divine, that there's something bigger out there. He says, perhaps what that is all based on, mahutahi, hakar satov. People in their heart of hearts appreciate there's all this incredible stuff in the world, and it's whether they realize it or not, it's their appreciation for all the amazing things in the world, i.e. their makir tov, they recognize the good. That is in essence what is giving them even this most subtle, incoherent feeling and connection to God, whether they realize it or not. Chedvas achayim. A person who genuinely has the judavi, right? Has that joy of life and sees, look, there's so many beautiful things in the world. Wow, what a sunset. Oh, wow, what a this. Oh, you know, I mean, it could be also, wow, you know, the Alps, or wow, the Rockies, or wow, something else. But it could also just be beautiful sunset, or wow, that was an amazing thing. Do you see that nice thing that that person did for that? Or, you know, if someone who goes through life appreciating all the incredible and beautiful things that are in the world, says, Rav Obi, Samimela. It's a life of emuna. Eich nichyev in henem olam ashir ze yom yom rega l'bli lahodos avor alzos. Right? And if you don't go through life appreciating there's anything beautiful to be thankful for, then you won't be thankful. But people who can appreciate all the beauty in the world, that hakar satov, so mamela, it has to be an address for that appreciation. And therefore, he says, that's why, I'll paraphrase the next paragraph so we can get to the last point, that's why he says, Chazal put such an emphasis on brachos and even the idea of 100 brachos a day. Not only in davening, which is where we're thinking about certain categories of life to thank Hashem, even if we're not experiencing them at the moment, to all the different things that we may see, eat, or benefit from throughout the day. And the idea he points out is, we don't want it to be just one big blob. Right? Even the blob is good, but it's still, it's a good blob. It's a very, very positive blob. Life is good. Now that's actually not what we want. The reason Chazal said, no, mea brachos b'yom, the deeper message is, don't make it a blob. Don't just, you know, how you doing? I'm good. No. It's important for yourself to be able to be able to, so to speak, to write down, no, life is good. Now, what does that mean? What's the drop-down menu? Well, because marriage is good, the kids are good, parnas is good, the sunset was good, lunch was good. The more you can be mefaret, the more you can break it down to smaller things, and thank you for each one is much, much more powerful than just the overall thing. That very, very important. And therefore, he says, this is the shorish of all of this is brachos. Excuse me, brachos. Is hakar satov. Take a look in the middle of the paragraph, he connects us now to brachos. Yisod ha'avoda hazos hi hakar satov. In order to be able to go through life and appreciate all that, you have to be makir. Again, I don't know enough about the etymology of the word gratitude. It's a very beautiful word. But it's even more beautiful and more meduyak, at least as far as my knowledge of Hebrew, in Lashon HaKodesh. It's not just saying thank you. That's a good word. I like that word. But hakarat hatov is recognizing the good. That's profound. That's not just a longer version of the word thank you. Recognizing the good is because that's the key, is the hakara. Being makir in the tov. The tov is everywhere. But you can't say thank you for it if you're not first makir it. Midazu enu nifredit l'chalek bein adam l'makom l'chalek bein adam l'chavero. Hamid achasi. This is what we were saying before. He came back to that point. That is a fundamental defining character trait. Either you got it or you don't got it. You go, well, you know, I'm really thankful to everything Hashem does, but I couldn't care less what my wife does for me. That's not a person who's not makir. If a person who's really makir tov, they don't distinguish between what Hashem did, what the wife did, what the children did, what the husband did. It's an attitude towards life. It's a midah, either you have it or you don't have it. Hakofer betovaso shachavero, you're going to be the same person as kofer in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If that's the case, so now we understand. Hakdama chinuchit lavodat birkat hanen, and he, midah hakar detov. If you want to just lump from a hashkafic perspective, from a avodas Hashem perspective, from a pinimis perspective, what is the shorish? What's the message that we're supposed to be internalizing in the entire parsha of brachos? It is Hakar Satov, thanking Hashem, being aware of all the good that Hashem does for us. And just briefly, we'll mention, there's two other points, but we only have time for one of them. So I'll mention that he, in this next bottom paragraph, he says, he quotes something very interesting in the Navi Yeshaya, Perek Lamed Ches. So there is a Michtav L'Chizki HaMelech Yehuda. He was dying, the Navi describes, and incredibly recovered. And in this letter, which is basically describing how a person thought he was going to die. And Yamarti bidami yamai, elcha b'shar sheol. I figured I'm going to the grave. I got one foot in. Bakarati yeser shnotai. I'm going to be deprived of the rest of my life. Amarti lo era Hashem be'eretz ha'chaim. And I'm never going to see God again. I'm never going to see God in eretz ha'chaim. Right? This is the person who was said, the Navi is describing this after he recovered. So set the Radak on that pasuk says, and then Rav Sadri Gaon, all of this was a way of saying thank you. The words thank you don't appear in the Navi. But says Rav Sadri Gaon, you have to understand what he's doing here. He's not just lamenting or just giving you a biography into how depressed he was when he was sick. Rather, it's a way, retrospectively, of being grateful. Inyan hoda'ah. It says Radak on that. What do you see from this? Again, he's focusing on those last words. Amarti lo ere'eh. I won't see Hashem anymore. Nachonu. Rav Sadri Gaon is right. Ki ro'os hakel. There is an incredibly strong and necessary connection between the ability to see God in the world and to be thankful to him. As Rav Volbi, we'll just read another line or two, as Rav Volbi kind of distills from this radak, Nifla ma'od l'mitponen. What an incredible radak. What an incredible passage you're going. Eich u'bamah ro'im et Hashem mamish. You want to know what it means to really see God? Hakarat tovato b'hoda'a. Is the ability to be thankful and to be appreciative. Right? And I think, there's a certain circularity to this. If you truly see God, you'll be appreciative. And if you have the mindset of always being grateful, you will also see God more. Right? It feeds off each other. The more you see Hashem, the more you realize you have what to be thankful for. But the more your mentality is, I'm looking for things to be thankful for, you will realize that there's so much more good in your life and that God is the cause of that than you would have otherwise. And therefore, that's why he says, that's why Chazal made these takanos of all the brachos we have to say. La'amidenu tamid al yad ha'yitzira. Because the more thankful we are, the more Hashem will be with us. Yom yom, shah shah. Every time we realize there's something new, there's something new. Olam kazeh ha-mitchadesh lefnei einenu yom yom, einu mala chaludas shigra, right? We won't have like the rust of just going through the motions. But we realize every day, ma'arabu masecho, every day moda'ani, every day, every this. So the more we can appreciate and say thank you to people, the more happiness we have, but also the more emunah we will have. So there's really a connection between the brachos and the previous section that we just saw. And that is that the essence of brachos is hakaras hatov, and hakaras hatov is inextricably linked with emunah. Because if you truly see Hashem, you'll be thankful, and if you're truly thankful, you will also see Hashem. And that is the nature of the brachos. So on a strict halachic perspective, yeah, we have to remember not to forget brachos. You know, it's very easy to forget brachos. But on a deeper spiritual level, it's not enough to just zanos. Right? Maybe technically you said enough words to count. I don't know. That's a different question, maybe each time. But zonos is not this. Right? It can take only a second. But that second of, wow, this thing, this cookie, this anything, that's from Hashem. That not only gives us Hakaras HaTov, and Hakaras HaTov will strengthen our emunah. Good Shabbat.